So this is just for the video here. We're with Missionary Enterprises, and today we're not live streaming, but we're doing the YouTube video, and we are doing on Facebook, and of course this is going to be going up on Twitter, LinkedIn, blog, and of course on Instagram eventually, and eventually we're going to be doing some podcasting. But today we are, this is under Operation Outreach with our brothers and sisters from Jesus Reigns Forever Ministries in Busia, Kenya, Africa. Yeah. Amina. Okay. All right. So today's topic is a great topic. It's called what? Discipleship, right? And following Jesus. You got the notes, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so we'll do like a little bit like last time. We'll read the verses together, but let me do the comments. Let me do the teachings, okay? All right. So, but the first, let's start with the introduction here. I just wrote here. This is very important that we understand this. Number A here, I wrote down here. Let me read this. There are clear distinctions and differences between what we call discipleship and sonship. As the former one, discipleship is God's method to get you to eventually walk in the latter one, which is your sonship. Yeah, the discipleship leads to sonship. Okay, you understand that? You start with being a disciple to become a son. Okay? All right, so number B, let's read it together. B, discipleship is a process as well as a transformation or transformational process or process that leads to transformation that needs to take place within the soul, the psyche, the will of every child of God. So I've touched on this before with you guys that we are spirit. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, right? Right? We have a spirit. I mean, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a physical body. So the part of us that has to go undergo this process, this transformation called discipleship, is in the soul. It's in the soul. Psyche. The Greek word is psyche. Okay? All right, let's read together C. After the cross, the way that we follow Jesus is by being led by the Spirit because of these key verses. All right? So let's read the verses together. John 14, 26. Let's read it together. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener,
why don't you turn around?
Stand by the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Wow, that's great. Let's move on to the next verse. Romans 8:14. Let's read it together. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All right? So let's move on to number D. Number D. Let's read it together. To follow Jesus today is very different from the very first early disciples because Jesus was with them physically, unlike us today. Today we follow someone who lives on the inside of us, according to what? John 14, 17. Let's read it together. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. In you. Okay? So my comment, don't read the comment. Let me read the comment. The early disciples, they were led outwardly by Jesus himself. Yet today we're led inwardly, called an inward leading. Right? Where does the Holy Spirit reside? Where is he? Is he outside of me or is he inside of me? He's inside of me. So when he leads you, when he guides you, when he talks to you, when he's instructing you, correcting you, all these different things, most of it is going to come from within, right? Amen. Amina. All right. So let's start with key references. Key references. Key references. Let's start with the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew. All right? So Matthew 4, 19 and 20. Let's start with verse 19. And he said to them, come after me as disciples, letting me be your guide. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20. At once they left their nets and became his disciples, sided with his party, and followed him. Followed him. So my comment is this. One of the proofs that you are following Jesus is that you have allowed Jesus to make you to become a fisher of men. Regarding what we call today, soul winning, right? Evangelism, the Great Commission, right? That's what we call it today, right? Yeah. So fishers of men, Jesus said, I will make you. So fishers of men are made. They're made, okay? So the word, that word made, it's we got the Greek here. It's a Strong's number 4160. It's the word poieo, and it literally means to make, to manufacture, to construct, to form, and to fashion. You're making something. You're making something, right? Well, Jesus wants to make us. He wants to make fishers of men. He wants to make fishers of men. Right? Okay. So how do you make fishers of men? Through discipleship. Right? Yeah. Okay, good. So let's move on here. The next verse. Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Tell me when you're ready to read it. Ready? Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. Wow. Okay. So my comment is this. A true disciple, not a false disciple, but a true disciple are given. I give you something. Jesus gave us something. He gives us, right? Given this power and authority. So we've been given power and authority, yet it's up to us to make proper use of it by faith. Everything God gives us, we receive it by faith. Everything. Okay? So that word given, let's look at the first Greek word here. That first word given, it's Strong's number 1325. We got the Greek word there. It's the transliteration is didomai. And it means to give, to offer, to put, to place, to bestow, and to commit. All right? So we've been given authority and power as disciples. Okay? So the next word here, everybody knows this word. Everybody should know this word. It's Strong's number 1849 for the word power and authority. We know what it is. It's the word exousia. Exousia. Yeah, it's a powerful word. Very powerful. All right? So some of the definitions here is authority, moral authority, influence of a spiritual power, a right or privilege, conferred power, delegated empowerment, authorization, operating in a designated jurisdiction. Amina? Amina! All right, good stuff. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to Matthew. We're still in Matthew. Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 24. All right, let's read it together. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, take up his cross and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. Wow. Okay, so my comment is this, is that apart from the self-denial, denying of self, you cannot truly follow Jesus. You can't. Jesus said, if you don't deny yourself, you can't follow me. So to follow Jesus is to follow his will for your life and not your own will or your own desires. Right? Jesus has a will. Right? He has desires. And his desires, they must become our desires. Right? Yeah. So when his desires become my desires, then me and Jesus will get along really good. Really good. But if I have my own desires and Jesus has his own desires, you think we're going to get along very good? No. We're not going to get along at all. We have problems. We have some big problems. I don't want no problems with Jesus. How about you? You want problems with Jesus? No. I said, do you want problems with Jesus? No. If you want problems with Jesus, you picked the wrong guy. Jesus is not the one to have problems with. All right? Okay, so this word deny, to deny. What does it mean to deny something? What does it mean to deny? Refuse it. Exactly. All right. So this word deny here, it's Strong's number 533, the Greek. And it's the word aparneome. And it means to deny, to disown, to repudiate either another person or myself, disregard, or like Brother Gabriel said, to refuse. To refuse. Yeah. You know, some people say, I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. A lot of people say, I don't want nothing, I refuse Jesus. I refuse Jesus. Well, you know what? I got one word for them. Stupid. Stupid. That's stupid. Yeah. All right. So let's move on here. Let's read 2 Corinthians. We're into Corinthians. Oh, no. The one that goes with the deny here. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:15 together. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Okay. So, everybody loves Gabriel, right? Does everybody love Gabriel there? Yeah? Yeah, they're pretty quiet over there. Yeah. Well, that's okay. As long as they love Jesus, that's okay. Yeah. But did Gabriel die for you? No. Who died for you? Jesus. Was Gabriel raised for you? No. Who was raised for you? All right. So that's why Jesus has a right to have his will in your life instead of your own will. He died for you. He died for you. That's good enough for me. He died for me. He saved me. He went to hell for me. Good enough for me. Let your will be done. Right? All right. Thank you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Gospel of John. Gospel of John. Gospel of John. Are you there? John chapter 8, verse 31. Are you ready? Ready? Okay. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. All right. So my comment is this, the teaching is this. It is impossible to follow Jesus unless you abide in his word. It's impossible. It's impossible. Which also means you follow his word. When you follow his word, you follow Jesus. When you follow Jesus, you follow his word because he is the word, right? He is the word, right? John 1:1. Right? In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Amina? Okay, so the key word here is the word abide, to abide. So we got Strong's number 3306, the Greek word here. It's the word meno, means to stay, to abide, and to remain. Remain in my word. Get into the word and stay in the word. That's what I say. I say, get in the word and stay in the word until the word gets inside of you. Yeah. Yeah, all right. So John 15:7. Let's read John 15:7 here. What did Jesus say about that? If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Yeah. So to be in vital union with Jesus, we have to be in vital union with his word. Does everybody got the Bible there? I knew it. Who's got a Bible there?
I don't even have my Bible. You got a Bible? No.
What about your daughter? She got no Bible? Your daughter, Rial. I know. That's okay. It's sitting at home, right? Does she have a Bible at home? No, I'm talking to her. Not talking to you. I'm talking to her. Does she have a Bible? Do you got a Bible at home? Do you read it? Every day? All right. Okay, let's move on. All right, John. John 10. verse 4, 5, and 27. Let's read verse 4 together. You ready? When he has brought his own sheep outside, he walks on before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 5. They will never on any account follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers or recognize their call. Verse 27. The sheep that are my own hear and listening to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's right. So my comment is this, is hearing the voice of the Spirit. Going back to what I said, who lives on the inside of us? The Holy Spirit, right? Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is not only key, but crucial when it comes to following Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, you better follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's as if Jesus is speaking. Because Jesus said, I will send you another comforter in my name, in my place. We just read that. To represent me. Right? Right. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's as if Jesus is speaking. Yeah. Very important. Very important. All right. So let's move on. We're still in the Gospel of John. Chapter 12. Verse 26. Are you ready? Okay. If anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying. And wherever I am, there will be my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. The Father will honor him. So my comment is this, is you cannot serve Jesus unless you're following him. Whoever you're following, you're serving. Right? If you follow Jesus, you're serving him. If you follow Gabriel, you're serving Gabriel. If you're following somebody else, you're serving that person, but not Jesus. So let's read here in John and Matthew 6:24. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24? Yeah, let's read it. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Very clear. You follow God, you serve God. You follow mammon, you serve mammon. Right? Okay. Let's move on to the Epistle of Ephesians. Epistle of Ephesians. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. I love this verse. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That's what I just said. Followers of God. You follow Jesus, you follow God. You serve Jesus, you're serving God. You're serving mammon, you're following mammon. So God says, as his children, we need to follow him. We need to imitate God. Right? That's what I wrote my comment here. As children ought to follow their parents in the natural. If they have good parents, so should we who are the children of God follow him. Right? And we follow, you lead by example. A lot of children, they smoke, they drink, they do things they shouldn't do because they see mom and dad do it at home. I had a lot of friends. They smoked because mom and dad smoked at home. Yeah. Okay, all right. 1 Corinthians. Let's go to Corinthians here. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Pattern yourselves after me, follow my example as I imitate and follow Christ. That's what Paul said. So I wrote here, my comment is this, is what Paul is really saying here is this. This is what Paul is saying. Follow me as I follow Christ. Yet, but, if I am not following Christ, do not follow me. So I said here, new and young believers need to have someone, get rid of that thing, someone they can look up to be influenced by in order to lead and guide them in the right direction until they are well able to follow the Lord all on their own without having to depend on somebody else. And that is what discipleship is all about. I came to a place where I was able to follow the Lord without any help from pastors. I didn't need pastor encouraging me, praying for me. No. I learned to follow the Lord all on my own at a very early age in my walk with God. And that is good. Churches need to teach that more and more. You have to come to the place where you can follow the Lord without having to depend on everybody else around you. You understand that? Yeah, and so that we can help the younger believers. Once you can follow the Lord all on your own, without the help, it doesn't mean you don't work together, because we're a body, right? We're a body. So we work together. We need each other. But we have to stop depending on one another all the time to follow the Lord. Yes, that's very important. Very important. Okay. Last one, Revelation. Revelation, last one. Last book. Ready? 14:4. These are they who have not defiled themselves by relations with women, for they are pure as virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are they who have been ransomed, purchased, redeemed from among men as the first fruit for God and the Lamb. All right, so my comment is this, back to what I said many times regarding sonship and a son not having a will of his own, which is also found in John 5. But see, when it comes to God, when it comes to God and Jesus, what did Jesus say? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Forget about yourself. Let me take care of you. Right? That's what it says right here. John 5. John 5, verse 19 and 30. What did Jesus say? Let's read. And Jesus said, answered to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. That's what Jesus said. Verse 30, last verse. I cannot myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Jesus was sent by the Father, right? Was Jesus sent by the Father to do his own will, or was he sent to do the will of the Father? Okay. So when I'm sent, when God sends me somewhere, am I going to go there to do my own thing, my own will, or am I going to go there for what he wants me to do? So when you come to Canada, if God sends you to Canada, you're going to come to do what? You're going to come to do what Gabriel wants, or you're going to come to do what Jesus wants? Okay, now I'm going to ask the daughter, your daughter. If Jesus sends you to Canada, are you going to come and do your own will, or are you going to come and do His will? Hallelujah! Good girl. I'll give you a big kiss.